If we take all of the forms of worship, all of the ibadat, the orders come from the Qur'an, and the method is explained or was explained to us by the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The order of salah, for praying salah, is given by the Qur'an, and the method was explained to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every worship, every ibadat, if hajj is explained or ordered by the Qur'an, and the methodology has been explained by the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umrah is mentioned, Allah Ta'ala gives the mention, and the Quran gives us the direction, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us the detail of how to do it. So for all the actions, the tariqah is given by the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Take zakat, the hukm is in the Quran, and the tariqah, the method, is being explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dhikr, Allah says in the Quran, do dhikr, and the method has been explained to us by the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's apparent, if you just follow the hukm, the order, then you cannot fulfill the requirements of that worship. Until and unless, if we don't have the knowledge of how, for example, oh yeah, Allah says in the Quran, pray salah, we pray salah. Okay, so how are you praying? Somebody's face is to the left, somebody's to the right, somebody's forward, somebody's back, not pointing in the right direction, facing in the right direction. Somebody will pray in a different way, the next person will pray in a different way. The reason? Because he's not following the method that's being prescribed to us. And only that salah, that prayer will be accepted, which is in accordance with the technique and the method that the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us and explained to us. So everything we do, we have to do in accordance with the practice of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Stand like this, face this way, put your head like this, your hands like this, etc. Take all the ibadat. If we go to hajj, then there are many parts to the hajj, many steps that you have to take. Now if you go there and do hajj according to your own desires and way, yes, you'll go there, you'll wander around, you'll come back, but you won't benefit from that ibadat, from that worship, because all ibadat, the meaning and objective of doing worship is to please Allah, is to attain the pleasure of Allah. So we observe worship in order to please Allah, our Lord, our Creator. And in order to do that, what do we have to do? We have to follow the tariqah, the correct method of observing that worship, of practicing that worship. When you do it in the correct way, then that worship will be accepted, and inshallah our Lord will be pleased with us. So here we are today assembled for Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. And the dhikr of Allah has been ordered by the Quran. And who will tell us the method of how to do dhikr? The noble, the holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we want to know what is dhikr, what is the remembrance of Allah, why do we do it, for what reason do we do it, the virtues, and then when the example of the merciful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes in front of us, then we will understand that dhikr is good, it's beneficial, it's a great action, how should we do it, and we'll understand what is the value of dhikr, how precious it is. So when we do dhikr, when we remember Allah, who has taught us this? Allah Ta'ala has ordered us to do dhikr, and Allah Ta'ala has advised us to do dhikr, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to us in detail how to do it. And the same way, if we didn't follow that explanation, the method, we would be in the same situation as all the other forms of worship where we don't follow the method. So if you want to understand how to do dhikr, learn from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The noble and merciful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith to his blessed companions regarding dhikr and remembrance of Allah, that dhikr, do dhikr in abundance, kathir. This is the meaning of hadith. Yeah? Like salah is 5 times a day. We pray salah 5 times a day. We don't pray 6 times a day, do we? Jummah comes once in the week. Or does it come 5 days in the week or 3 days in the week? No. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, do it like this. And if he said, pray Jummah on Saturday, we would have done it on Saturday. It would have been accepted. Because the hukm, the order, the explanation, the method, the technique is that which the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. Yes, and if he told us differently, we would have done differently. So dhikr of Allah, what is the hukm? What is the order? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was his tariqah? What should you do? How should you do it? In abundance, in high quantity. So the first point, do we do that? That first of all, we don't even do that. Why are we gathered here? For dhikr? So how very few people there are. If I put an advertisement out that there's a great program, event, this, then I think, maybe the hall will fill up And they'll be pushing around and shoving and people fighting. No, we want to go in. No, we want to go in. There'll be competition. Subhanallah. And Allah's Nabi, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, the Quran tells us that is this not a big loss for us? This is a big loss for us and we are unfortunate. What can I say? Are we fortunate or unfortunate? We are unfortunate. What should be our standard, our basis, criteria? Quran. And the Merciful Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is our basis for success. And these are the two lights of guidance that direct us in life. If you take one out, then we're finished. Like Allah Ta'ala gives His hukam. And the Quran, the order of the Quran is great. It is essential for us. But if we don't know the method, then we can't fulfill that worship. We don't know how to do it. So we have to have both. Both are the wings. We need to utilize them. So we have to follow the method of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and we have to have the hukum of the Quran. So if we don't have either of them, we can have 50,000 pound notes in our pockets. Yeah, 50 pound notes in our pockets. And we can be running around or we could go to the shop. So I took a few hundred pounds of 50 pound notes in my pocket. I went to the shops and grocery stores and I came back and they asked me, did you buy anything? No. But you had money. Why didn't you buy? You don't buy. Unsuccessful. And the angels, when we pass away, they'll say, what deeds did you bring? Haven't we got them in our pocket? So many things we've been given. Just like the 50 pound notes, we've got that knowledge and awareness in our minds. But we have not put the basis of success in front of us. We put our nafs, our desires in front of us. And our nafs, our desires is the basis we think for success. But those people are intellectual and people of understanding who've made the basis of success, the criterion of success in their lives, what? The Quran and the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will be successful in this world and in the hereafter. They will have no feeling of loss. They will not lose because they have the right timetable, the right framework, and they're on the right path. And they know that even if physically there's a loss, but they say, no, there's no loss. There cannot be any loss due to following Islam. So when we are following a track that is in front of us and we're told that this is your program, that's it, you have to follow this methodology, then he's not going to turn back. We know that we've been given a framework, a way, a method, which is the Quran and the physical practice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What have we attained from that direction? Alhamdulillah, this is the quality of a mu'min, that he needs to bring that into his life and that becomes his basis of success. Will he ever lose? Will he fail? No. So we need to, we're Muslims, we're believers, we have iman, we need to adjust our lives, mold our lives accordance with Allah Ta'ala's kitab, the Quran and the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I could give many examples. Look, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the hukum of the Quran is do dhikr in abundance. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do dhikr in abundance. Same as the Quran. So should we do it or not? What a great statement. How important. And further, he did tafsir, commentary of what is abundance. We could do abundance ourselves. Definition of 30 tasbih, 50 tasbih, 20 beads, or say subhanallah wa bihamdi 5 times or 10 times, and just we prescribe it ourselves. Is this the tariqah? Where do we learn the method of how to do dhikr in abundance? So we will have to follow that guidance, because if the tafsir, the commentary comes, the explanation comes, if the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that salah pray like this, then we pray salah like that. If you want to pray salah, if you want it accepted, salah will be accepted and will be defined as salah if we do it in the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hajj will be defined as hajj, accepted if we do it in that way, the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained. And the same way kathiran dhikr, abundance of dhikr will only be abundance if we do it in the way that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam prescribed to us. So we can't make the numbers from our own mind and our pockets, do it like this. Now if the hukum has come in the Quran, then Rasulullah has told us how to do it, then it's lazim, compulsory for us that we must observe this practice and do dhikr of Allah. So the method was explained by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that how should we do dhikr of Allah and how much should we do. So the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained kathrat, abundance, high number. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do lots of dhikr. And how? And it should be in this way, the high quantity, that people think you are majnoon. They think that you are mad. And the munafiqs, they say that you are showing off. Yes? So this is a beautiful sign that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, that even if you do one tasbih, rosary bead, or two tasbihs, and you get this title from the people, then this will be your dhikr kathir. This will be your dhikr kathir. So in kathir, the point that I understand, or we understand, is that it's not the count. Rather, it is what? It is the quality and the depth, the intensity of that dhikr. That people, how much does it spread, the intensity across the people? Maybe from one tasbih, people say, oh, he's mad, he spends too long doing dhikr. And the munafiqs will say, oh, he's showing off, he's a bidati, he's an innovator. What's he doing? So look how beautiful is this hadith, that when this noise and clamor spreads, that people around you, the believers say, no, you're just mad, you're crazy, you're doing too much. Or others say, what's he doing? He's showing off. Then alhamdulillah, dhikr is accepted, and this is dhikran kathir. And very few people attain this. Very few people get this, that people start saying, oh, these are munafiqs, oh, they're mad people. You know, they're just free, they have nothing else to do. Get them out from here. Be gone with them. That's all they do, just one practice. And what a good piece of news that the Prophet ﷺ has spread and shared, that when a person earns this reputation, where people around him are saying, oh, he's just wasting time doing dhikr, oh, he's showing off, then he should understand that he is doing dhikr and kathir and kathir. So what's the meaning that comes out of this? Maybe I do 100 tasbih or 1,000 tasbih, but it's not kathir, is it? The enjoyment is such that the effect of dhikr should come out, that there should be that much quantity of dhikr I'm doing, that people around, they appreciate, they understand and realize that this person is doing dhikr. And the enemies, they will burn. And who is the greatest enemy? Shaitan. He will run. So whenever the person will have most distress from us doing dhikr will be shaitan. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this, that kathir, dhikr kathir. Why is it explained? Why is the word kathir being used? For example, this is no benefit to Allah when we do dhikr from our remembrance of Allah, from our dhikr. What benefit is there to Allah? There's no benefit to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The benefit is to me. Who benefits when he does worship or she does worship? The person himself or herself. And Allah knew and Allah knows that dhikr, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, His remembrance is a great gift for His people, for the ummah. And Allah Ta'ala gave us a great ni'mah and a rahmah, a mercy. Allah Ta'ala gave a great rahmah and mercy to the ummah of Rasulullah. And Rasulullah knew that for my ummah, this is a great rahmah of Allah. And he delivered many statements which have been preserved in the hadith. And Rasulullah said that I'm seeing people descending, the angels descending, just like the raindrops are descending. What amal are you doing? What practice are you doing? Allah Ta'ala's rahmah and mercy I'm seeing, it's descending from the heavens. And Allah's Nabi could see this. He had the eyes, the vision. And he saw rahmah. He said, what are you doing, my companions, my sahaba? What action are you doing? There's so many rahmas of Allah descending on you. And they got afraid. Ya Rasulullah, we're not doing anything. We're just remembering Allah. That's it. Nothing else. They will be anxious. So is this insignificant? What I'm saying? The words that have been delivered by a noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Great news. When a person is doing dhikr of Allah, sits to do dhikr of Allah, what happens? He is immersed in Allah Ta'ala's rahmah. He's washing in Allah Ta'ala's rahmah. So many rewards he attains. And as soon as he's free from dhikr, when he finishes, Allah Ta'ala forgives him or her. That person, tell me, you have a sinner, multitudes of sins. And it's like he jumps into the ocean and he comes back out, he's pure and clean. So this is the rahmah, the mercy of Allah. And if Allah Ta'ala pulls and attracts someone, it's a great rahmah, ni'mah. Today we say, we don't need rahmah, we want mal. I need money. I need wealth. This is the good life, you know. So if we thought that, if we knew that dhikr was rahmah, would we not run to the gathering? Would we not be seeking the dhikr gatherings? Allah Ta'ala's rahmah suddenly descends onto that person who sits in dhikr of Allah. It comes with force and his sins are eliminated. He's cleaned, purified. And another point, beautiful, is that Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, alhamdulillah, another great conclusion is that in every sitting of dhikr, not every sitting of dhikr, that by saying Allah once, that's not generalized, but even saying Allah once, suddenly what happens is that a person gets close to Allah. Every recitation of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr takes him to qurb, to the nearness of Allah, qareeb to Allah, close to Allah. Every gathering, but not every gathering, let's go within the gathering, every statement of dhikr will get him close to Allah. If a person does dhikr of Allah, and after finished, the gathering's finished, he's a bit cautious, a little bit cautious. These are the words of the hadith, like I'm explaining to you in your presence, in your service. If you're a little bit cautious after the gathering of dhikr, what is that cautiousness? Don't commit the sins. Don't commit the sins. Like we're sitting in the gathering of dhikr, after that we should be cautious and careful that let's catch the sins. And trap them and not repeat them. And then you'll become so great that the angels will shake your hands in the alleyways, in the streets, and the road, in the pathway. The angels will come to you to meet you and to greet you. The angels, you will see them when you're lying down on your bed. And you will witness this, such a great, great piece of news. But this is where we lose out. Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq, we come to dhikr, we come to the gathering, and then on this point, we lose out. All of the goodness turns to water and disappears and evaporates. So that's what we have to do. I should do this and you need to do this as well. That when Allah gives us the tawfiq, the ability, and we do dhikr and we finish the gathering, and when we depart, let's not waste that deed of dhikr we've just done. Make a solid intention. Allah, I'm not going to commit the sins after this. No guna saghira, no sin kabira. No sin saghira. No small sin or big sin. I'll lower my eyes, I'll control myself. Just for a few days you have to do this. Allah Ta'ala has given us everything in such a way that we can do this. In such a way we can do this. Very easy. You'll be amazed. That how easy is it to leave the sins? There's nothing easier than leaving the sins. I'll tell you this, the reality. The amount it is easy to leave the sins, there's nothing easier than that. I'm sharing that with you. It is so easy to leave the sins, but we think it's difficult. You just have to run out of that circle of sins. When you do dhikr, Allah's mercy comes, maghfirat comes, forgiveness comes, we get close to Allah, everything's ready. All we have to do to unlock that door to the treasures, he say, no, this sin, no, I don't need to go to this. I don't want to go to this sin. And ask the Quran, ask Allah Ta'ala's kitab, or ask your teacher, or ask an alim, that is this a sin? Am I committing this sin? And don't make it up yourself. No. Take the guidance. Be cautious. Be careful. We have to be careful. Don't make the bundle that this is not a sin. Why is this a sin? Where is it written? Oh, I know this is fine. What is the basis? We have to ask for the guidance. Quran, Hadith, and the learned people. You have to ask the Quran, Hadith, that this deed I did, was this a sin? Yes, it's a sin. It's a sin. And here's another point to share. How easy is this? Okay, brothers, you've done dhikr. You've remembered Allah. You've made the niyat that now, inshallah, we're not going to commit the sins. We're not going to practice it. Okay, then if we sin afterwards, what happens then? If we commit the sin after promising, after doing tawbah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a great preparation for that instance. As soon as you commit the sin, say astaghfar. Recite the forgiveness to Allah. So ask Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. Request the forgiveness. And you did dhikr. You left the gathering of dhikr. You made intention to leave the sins. And then if you sinned, and Allah ta'ala says, then fine, you can do tawbah again. Come back to that situation again. So there are two actions we need to do. We do dhikr. Alhamdulillah, say everyone, Alhamdulillah, we have attained Allah Ta'ala's gathering of remembrance, and inshallah we'll be forgiven, Allah's rahmah will come down, and we will get close to Allah. If you don't believe, then when you pass away, you'll see. If you don't believe what I'm saying, then when you pass away, you will see that after dhikr, what did you attain? What will you attain? You say, subhanallah, forgiven straight, not one, two. Thousands of examples I can give to you that people were doing dhikr of Allah, they departed from the gathering of dhikr and death came to them, they passed away and they reached to paradise due to them remembering Allah. Sadiq Masduq, the noble prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the master of Medina, Allahu Akbar sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his blessed statement, he has told us this. From his blessed statements we learn this. How can this be wrong? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the dhikr of Allah is done by those people that if, for example, even a sinner sits with them, the dhakirin, then that the sinner will not leave without any gain. He will have total gain. He will not live as a loser. Even if he came to the gathering, he had no intention to do dhikr. Even if he liked dhikr or not, he disliked dhikr maybe. But the majlis of dhikr is so great. Those people are so great. The personality is so great. The teacher, if somebody comes and sits next to him, even that person is forgiven. Who didn't have the niyyah, who didn't have the ikhlas. What a rahmah Allah Ta'ala has allowed that to shine. But we are losers. Only fortunate and lucky people can come to these gatherings. Imagine, what will we lose? What will we lose if we sit for a few minutes in dhikr? And what will we attain if we do sit? So two things. One is dhikr. One is departing. Before we depart from the gathering, we make the intention. So we should leave in this hal that we want to leave the sins. And the angels will come and do musafa, shake our hands. Because when a person does dhikr and he departs from the dhikr gathering, he leaves illuminated, cleaned and pure. So let's make intention. Allah, we are doing a remembrance and we make intention, we will not go towards the sins anymore. Make the niyat, inshallah, fine. And then if we make a mistake again, we repeat the mistake again, then straight away, immediately we say, Allah, I promise to you, and I've made a sin again. I've committed the sin again. How did this happen? Straight away, stand up. Stand up and say, Astaghfirullah illadhi la ilaha illa anta. And you do that, Astaghfirullah illadhi, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Times, Allah Ta'ala, this mistake I've made. I've made a big mistake. Allah will say, okay, no problem. And you'll be cleaned again, and you'll come back to that stage, just like you were before. Alhamdulillah, then you move again. So this is what we have to do. If 1 week we practice this, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, then we will not even think of sinning after that. Sins won't even come next to us. The taste of doing sin, enjoyment will go. The so-called enjoyment of sinning will go. Totally the desire will go. It will diminish, it will evaporate, and it will look like dirty, impure actions. What kind of waste of time is this? What is this, a waste of time activity? Leave this sin. Don't do that. Let's talk about something else. That's it. 1 week if you practice this, that where there's a sin, stand up straight away. Like, stop the car. Stop the car straight away. Allah, Allah, and start speaking to Allah. Allah, I just committed a bad deed. I am your servant. Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me. Allah will forgive. Allah will say, go, I've forgiven you. I've forgiven you. That's it. Where does it take long? Does it take long? There's no one. You don't have to pay tax, no fine. Here, Allah Ta'ala says, I just want your regret and your words in your heart. And Allah will say, the angel will say, no, 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 he did this, he did this. Allah will say, leave him. Is he my servant or yours? And they'll say, Allah, he's your servant. Allah will say, go, I've forgiven him. If he's mine, leave it to me. It's my decision. So whenever a person saves himself from the sin, alhamdulillah, then he's full of nur. And then he's what? Dhikr. Then why should he be afraid? Why should he fear? He will succeed. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala has given us these ni'mas, treasures. We should appreciate them. This is a great ni'mah Allah Ta'ala has given us of dhikr. Let's not waste it. And how do we waste dhikr, this ni'mah, this treasure? Through the sins. Practicing the sins. Don't waste the dhikr that you've done. Such a great gathering. Rahmas have come. Forgiveness is given to us. Sins have been eliminated and washed away. All those sins that were burdening our heads on top of us. And on top of that, the kalamats that we will recite, that Allah Ta'ala will make us recite, they are greater than the heights and the peaks and the strength of the mountains. Tell me, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahil Azim. Is this a small kalama? Once if we recite this, once, then between the heavens and the earth, the gap is filled with the nur and the light. What Allah Ta'ala wants to give to us, and we just shy away? So how merciful is Allah? You are pious, but a sinner like me, the sinner upon sinners, Allah has not stopped me. Rather, He has sat me down here with His fadl, His blessings, and He's brought me to His home, the masjid. And what gifts and rewards He's given us is dhikr. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we appreciate and value these gifts and treasures of dhikr of Allah. Recite the Durood Sharif.